Hi, my name is Charlotte Gatiss, and I am at the Division of Infectious Diseases at Johns Hopkins. And today I want to share with you some of the results of our internet program, which educates women and men about STDs and also recruits them to self-sample themselves at home. We all know the internet has the potential to reach persons at risk. How many of you in the room have teenagers? They're on the internet all the time. Maybe you're on the internet all the time. So we thought about using this potential to recruit people to screen themselves at home and then to mail in the sample for testing. The website is iwantthekit.org. We didn't want to have chlamydia or STDs or sex because of it getting screened out by filters for pornography. We've had this program in use since 2004 for women and men in 2006. So objectives were to ascertain the characteristics of who these people are who are sending in kits, to describe their satisfaction with using the internet and home use of collection, and also to share with you the prevalence of the organisms. So here's the kit. We advertised in papers, radio, magazines, flyers. Now we mostly advertise on the radio and through flyers. The kits, after they're requested on the internet or by a 1-800 toll-free number, we mail the kits to their home. And it contains mostly just paper and a swab for the women, but a urine collection device and a swab for the men. And then there's a return mailer, pre-addressed and postage paid to return it to our laboratory. So as I mentioned, the women collected just a vaginal swab. These were mailed dry, and men collected both urine and a penile swab. There's been a lot of interest in the last few years about allowing men to collect their own penile swab, much like the women collects their own vaginal swab. So here's the website. It's educational. It'll tell you all about chlamydia and about why you should get tested, all about treatment, other resources, and then we have a questionnaire which can either be taken in the kit or online. And if you're interested and you want to tell us what you think about this type of testing, you can actually go online and not use the kit and take the questionnaire and tell us what you think. So this is the data for over 1,000 female vaginal swabs. And we asked the women on the questionnaire, what's their preference? Well, they did the self-vaginal, so this is probably somewhat biased, but 48% said the self-vaginal. A lot said vaginal or urine. Interestingly, almost 20% still wanted to have a pelvic exam done. We asked them if the collection is easy to very easy. These questions are on a Likert scale, and you can see over 90% said that it was easy to do, the instructions were easy, and they would use the internet system again. We would love to have the funds to be able to do rescreening. We were told by our website people that for enough money, we can send positive women an email in 3 months and say, you requested a kit 3 months ago, you were positive, it's time to screen yourself again. But anyway, most of these, as I mentioned, are requested by the email. Sometimes people, if they're not at their computer, will pick up the phone. But unfortunately, only 31% of the requested kits get returned. They're free. A lot of people just order them to see what they are. We're trying to gather data about why they don't return the kits presently. But our prevalence for chlamydia is 9, 1.5, 1.6 for gonorrhea. And we added trichomonas testing at the same time that we added the men to the website. And we're running about an 8% prevalence for trichomonas from these women. We've been able to get them treated. It was our great fear initially that we might not be able to locate or get the women, but we do find them thanks to a very aggressive and assertive project coordinator. They call in, they get their results. If they're negative, that's fine. If they're positive, we make them an appointment at one of the many free STD clinics or family planning clinics that are listed on our website. And the median age was pretty young, 23. median age of the positives and the negatives differed significantly. And the captured on the questionnaire, the median age at first sex is 15 years. So what did we find? 62% of the population was African American, and their prevalence was 11%. 26% Caucasian, lower prevalence 3%, and other races and ethnicities, the prevalence was 8.6. Doing an age graph, you can see that as most other studies for chlamydia, the highest rates were in the 15 to 19 year old, and then this declined significantly over the age categories. So, what's the risk history of these people? This is kind of a busy slide, so I'll try to guide you through it, but 38% told us they'd had chlamydia before. So, in essence, we're rescreening for them. 14% said they'd had gonorrhea. 19% said they'd had been told or tested and diagnosed with trichomonas. 1.7 for syphilis. And if you just ask them, have you ever had an STD before, which is the first question, 50% of them said yes. There was not much difference between the women that were infected and uninfected, except a history of gonorrhea was significantly different. And interesting, 3.6% of the women said yes, they had been diagnosed with PID earlier. They're risky. They have oral sex. They have anal sex. They have a new sex partner. They don't use condoms. And they have multiple partners. None of these are much different between the infected and the uninfected. Shown the green bars are the infected and blue bars are the uninfected. Having a new sex partner was associated. And also multiple partners in the last 90 days. But when you put all these into a model, a lot of these univariate things that were statistically significant fall out in the multivariate analysis, and only black race and age less than 25 years as a dichotomous variable showed statistical significance. We were very interested in wondering, well, who are these people? Are they people that we just made it easy for them to screen themselves who would have gone to a clinic? Are they people that have insurance or don't have insurance? So about 500 samples ago, we began asking some questions. And about 40% of them have a high school education. I'll just highlight some of the interesting things. 62% said they had insurance, so they could have gone to their private doctor, I guess. Only 9% said they were Medicaid eligible. Income-wise, we asked the question if you were younger or greater than 21 years, because we figured if they were less than 21, they probably were living with their parents. So most of them are in this income range, $10,000 to $50,000. And for those that are supporting themselves, also 63% are in this range. So that's it for the women. This is the website for the men. Now the two pictures are side by side and you click on one or the other to go into the testing. And this is some of the satisfaction data from the men. 100% said, yep, it's very easy or easy to collect a urine, but 90% said that they would, that it was easy to very easy to collect a penile swab. Now these are not urethral swabs. I had a picture, but I took it out. But it's on the website if you're interested, to touch the orifice of the meatus of the penis and then collect the urine. And we make it very easy for them to collect the urine. They urinate on a little sponge stick, which holds 2 mL of urine. But anyway, they said the instructions were easy and they would use this method again. When we asked them which sample they preferred, and they could mark more than one, 56% liked the penile swab, 62% wanted the urine, and 23% said they still preferred the doctor to do the urethral swab. So this is an analysis. We have not gotten as many in. Only about 25% returned the kit. I don't know, maybe they're afraid of the penile swab, but we do say you can use the urine only. If you don't want to collect the swab, they can just send in the urine. And I think all but three have sent both samples. Anyway, they all requested by the internet, and we were running a month ago 20% prevalence for chlamydia. Anyway, 14.7, almost 15% for chlamydia. 1.2 for gonorrhea and 1.8 for trich. Interestingly, of all the samples that we had, both samples, there were five samples that were positive by the penile swab that were negative by the urine. So this is something to think about, needs more study for the future. Anyway, this is our pie for African-American. Half of them were black, 18% infected, 41% were Caucasian, 7% infected, and we just had a couple of men in this category. Here's our age graph. This is like many other, if you are familiar with the CDC age breakdown, the highest rate is always in this little older group, 20 to 24. The younger guys take a while to get started, unlike the women. So every age graph I've ever seen in any large study, the younger men are just a little lower, and then they catch up very quickly, and then this goes down. So here's the statistics on the men. 35% graduated from high school, 56% have insurance, some have Medicaid eligibility. Same, most of them are in this 10,000 to 50,000, so they're not indigent, but they don't make a lot of money either. Okay, in conclusion, internet recruitment for home sampling to detect STIs is feasible. We are accessing a high-risk sexual behavioral group. The user characteristics may indicate that this program are reaching high-risk populations who don't access STD clinics, although they must have gone to some of them have gone to an STD clinic before because they have been diagnosed with STDs. But anyway, making these self-obtained urogenital samples available through the internet may give us another tool in our toolbox to provide new diagnostic options for the control of STIs. So obviously, this type of recruitment and screening and rescreening and collection of self-samples at home needs more study for the future. And I'd like to acknowledge our collaborators, Matilda Barnes, sitting here in the front row, who makes this project work. She makes their appointments. She sends them the kits. She contacts them. Bobo is our statistician. Nicole Quinn, who, I don't know if Nicole's here. Yep, there she is. She runs all these tests. Patricia Agreeters, our lab supervisor. Pam Whittle is from the Baltimore City Health Department and works with us. And Terry Hogan is on our committee and works with us a lot on the educational aspects. We have, over the years, added another section called Other STIs that they can go on and get educational information, syphilis, HIV, gonorrhea, trichomonas. So it's mainly a chlamydia screening site that they can get screened for other STDs, but they certainly can be educated about everything from syphilis to HPV. We had so many questions with the HPV vaccine that we started adding these other information about other STDs and other website linkages for them to get information. So that's all I have, and I guess we're ready for the next speaker.